Continue our sermon series. The title of it is Don't Quit in the Pit. We're looking at people who in the Bible ended up in some sort of pit. Some of them ended up in the pit because of bad decisions that they made. Some of them ended up in a pit not because of any bad decision they made, and really nothing of their own accord. They just ended up there because of other people. And so far we talked about Joseph, the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. He was a young man who tried to honor his father and honor God. As a result, his brothers get jealous of him. He ends up getting thrown in a pit, sold into slavery. But it's a great story because the young man keeps his heart right with God. As a result, he ends up interpreting the Pharaoh's dream and ends up saving the known world from a famine and saving the nation of Israel and becoming like the second most powerful man in the world because he didn't quit when it looked like he should have or could have. We talked about the story of King David in the Old Testament. David was the king of Israel. He ended up in what we would refer to as an emotional or spiritual pit numerous times in his life, most of those because he was making bad decisions. And as a result, he had some serious consequences he had to deal with, but he never gave up. And as a result, as you read the story of King David, he becomes or is known as one of the greatest kings Israel ever had. From his seed, the Messiah comes. And actually, the definition of King David was that he was a man after God's own heart. And we talked about last week the story of Daniel, the prophet Daniel in the Old Testament. A man, young man who loved God, was taken into captivity, but kept his heart right, didn't compromise his faith. As he grows old, he gets faced with this challenge: either pray to this king and stop praying to God, or else break the law and go to jail. We read the story where Daniel decides to go ahead and pray to God. He even goes a step farther, opens the windows so everybody can see. It's one of those 50-50 deals. He probably could have avoided going to the pit that day because he could have just closed the windows. But he decided to open the windows, gets arrested, thrown into the lion's den. But God performs a mighty miracle. And as a result, the king is affected, and he starts worshiping the one true God. And then the king commands that the entire known world has to worship the true God. So these are some incredible stories about people who didn't quit when there could have been that moment, or I'm sure there was that moment, where they decided, I'm cashing it in, I'm stopping, I give up, I'm not going to try anymore. So today we're going to continue doing our sermon series. We'll be looking at the life of the Apostle Paul, and we'll be in the book of Acts. But just a little background so we know, you know, who is this guy and where are we at and how did he end up in his pit. So the Apostle Paul, if you're familiar with his story, you find him in the book of Acts. At first, we find him as, his name is Saul. He's the persecutor of Christians. He's one of the religious Pharisees. He takes it personally that these people are preaching about Jesus, and he's a persecutor of Christians. I mean, passionate persecutor. I mean, he captured them. He tortured them. He caused them to blaspheme the name of God. The man was incredible. And then he has this unbelievable conversion experience on the road to Damascus. And as passionate as he was about persecuting Christians, he becomes as passionate to spreading the gospel. And so we read in the book of Acts, he's traveling around Asia and he's planting churches everywhere. He's on fire serving God. And we come to chapter 21. And when we get into chapter 21, we find that Paul has been planting churches all over Asia. But in chapter 21, he's heading back to Jerusalem. And he's got this large financial gift that he wants to give to the Christians in Jerusalem because they're suffering persecution. Paul understood what it was like to be persecuted. Wherever he went, there was trouble. He would cause riots, he would be arrested, there was one place where he was stoned, and so when he heard of the persecution that was going on in Jerusalem, he felt compelled in his heart, I'm going to collect money, and he collects money from all these churches that he started, and he's heading back to Jerusalem, and on his way, he stops off at one of the churches that he planted. It's the church in the city of Tyre, and I just want to read through what happens as he ends up going to Jerusalem. So if you have your Bibles, you can open to Acts chapter 21, the book of Acts. And Paul's on his way back to Jerusalem, and while he's there, he stops off at a city called Tyre in verse 3, and then verse 4. And finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul, through the Spirit, not to go up to Jerusalem. So here's Paul on his way back to Jerusalem. He's got all this money. He's all excited. He's heading back there. He stops off, has a time of prayer and worship, and probably had a service there. And the people gather around. They say, through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, basically like this, thus says the Lord, God does not want you to go to Jerusalem. Well, this, I'm sure, shocked Paul a little bit. It wasn't like he was new to trouble and difficulty, but he felt pretty strong in his heart. Hey, I need to get back there and help these people. And so even though these people in this church spoke to him through the Spirit and said, don't go back, he says, I'm going anyway. He brushed it off. So he continues on his journey, and just before he gets to Jerusalem, you keep reading through chapter 21. You get down to verse 10, and he stops off at one more church before he gets to Jerusalem. It's the church at Caesarea. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come down to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him, don't go up to Jerusalem. The writer is saying, I'm traveling with Paul, bless those of us in this church. We're telling Paul, don't go, don't go. Then Paul answered, well, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. So now, here's the second time Paul gets a word, and it's from a prophet this time. This is a known prophet, and Paul's having some fellowship with the people, and he's, you know, good to see you, and they're gathered around, they're having some prayer time and a service, probably looking at scripture, and the prophet stands up, takes Paul's belt, puts it around his hands and feet. Look, man, whoever owns this belt is going to have some real difficulty in Jerusalem. You're going to be arrested. So then all the people there start going, Paul, Paul, don't go, man. You shouldn't go. You shouldn't go. And then Paul says, oh, man, don't worry about it. You know, I'm okay. I'm not afraid to die. And, you know, I'll suffer for Christ. And so it looks like there was some little pressure going both ways. They're trying to pressure him. Don't go, Paul, don't go. And he's going, no, I'm going to go. I'm going to go. And they go, all right, whatever. The Lord's will be done. We give up. And so, you know, here's the second time Paul's told, don't go to Jerusalem. And he rejects the advice. These are godly people. This is a prophetic word. So my first question is, have you ever rejected good godly advice in your life? Anybody here ever reject? Don't raise your hands. I'm just... I reject every... No. You know, think back. I mean, how many times have you been given good advice from a godly man or a godly woman, and, you know, maybe advice about finances? You know, you probably shouldn't take on that debt. That's going to be, you know, don't worry about it, you know. Or, hey, you know, maybe that's not the best situation in your dating relationship. Nah, don't worry about it. It's going to work out. Or you know, you're in a marriage situation and maybe you're being given some advice. You know, here's some things you might want to think about. It's like, don't worry about it. You ever get a prophetic word and just kind of like, I'll think about it? I mean, I think the truth is probably most of us have had situations in our life where we've blown off good advice, where we've probably even heard or had a prophetic word and maybe not really applied it to our lives. And so the question is, well, what happens when you do that? Here we have Paul. He's got a prophetic word and he's been given good Christian advice. And so what happens to Paul? Well, we're about to find out. You continue reading and you get into chapter 22. We find out Paul goes to Jerusalem anyway. He blows off the advice. And then he tells us this story in chapter 22, verse 17. Apparently, as soon as he got there, he's in the temple praying. And he says, verse 17, chapter 22, then it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and I was praying in the temple that I was in a trance. And I saw him saying to me, meaning God or through the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit said to me, make haste, get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. So now, this is the third time. He goes to Tyre, and they They tell him through the Spirit, don't go to Jerusalem. He goes to the next church, Caesarea. The prophet says, don't go to Jerusalem. The prophet didn't actually say, don't go to Jerusalem, but I'm pretty sure you can get that impression from him saying, whoever's belt this is going to have some difficulty. I'm pretty sure that's a good message. You shouldn't go there. And he goes anyway, and he's there, and he's praying, and now it's the Holy Spirit, an unction. You call that an impression. Only he's using a little stronger word. I had a trance. I saw. I heard. God said, get out. Get out of here now. Now. Go. Go now. And look at this. Paul, he's so spiritual. He says in verse 25, I said, Lord, they know in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believe. And when the blood of your servant Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then he said to me, or God said to me, get out, for I'll send you far from here to the Gentiles. Well, listen to this. This is the Apostle Paul. He's arguing with God. He's telling God, you don't understand, God. You know, God, they know me. Don't worry about it. I got this. I got this. Folks, this is the third time. Can somebody help me here? What would you call that? Somebody? Oh my gosh, you're calling the Apostle Paul stubborn? Yeah, I think that's fair. Let's see, Tyre, through the Spirit, don't go. Caesarea, the next church, a prophet, if you go, it's going to be trouble. Don't worry about it. He goes and the Holy Spirit speaks to him and says, get out. And he goes, no, God, don't worry about it, man. I got this. It's hard to believe this, but people like Paul sometimes had some issues, okay? And he disobeyed, and he went anyway. So you read chapter 22, chapter 23, and oh my gosh, trouble happened, just like the prophet said. He goes to Jerusalem. He's in the temple praying. The people who know him cause a ruckus. They accuse him of defiling the temple. They accuse him of teaching people to break the law of Moses. A riot breaks out. He gets arrested. He's thrown into jail. I mean, he almost is killed. A Roman centurion comes down, breaks up the riot, arrests him, and Paul tries to preach, and the people are just screaming. They try to kill him. The Roman soldier takes him into prison. He goes, man, I got to bring him before the courts the next day, have an accusations. What do I charge him with? Brings him before the high council and says, you know, what's going on here? Paul starts preaching, causes another riot, and it says that they wanted to kill him. And the Roman soldier said, man, I got to get him out of here. Takes him out of here, throws him back in prison. He's trying to figure out what to do. So you get into chapter 23, Paul's in prison. And here's the beautiful thing about Scripture and why things are written in the Word. You get into chapter 23 and you go to verse 10. It says, and when there arose a great dissension, the commander, fearing lest Paul might be pulled to pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him into the barracks. But the following night, here is the grace and mercy of God. So Paul now is sitting in jail. And maybe the question you could just ask is, what do you think he was thinking when he's in jail? What are some thoughts going through his head? Would it be possible Paul's thinking, oops, I probably should have listened. Or, oh my gosh, I blew it. Great. Now I'm in jail. Uh-oh, what's going to happen? What's God going to do? He warned me. He warned me three times. I messed up. Sorry, God, I totally screwed up. Well, what does God say? Well, look at this. He gets thrown in prison, verse 11. But the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome. This is the piece where I say to you, you don't quit when you're in the pit. In this case, I think it's fair to say Paul ended up in the pit because of his own stubbornness. Now, there are different situations that bring people into bad circumstances. And And sometimes maybe it's because we're being rebellious and we're being sinful. But this one is a little different. This is a man who thinks he's doing right for God. He thinks he's serving God here, and he's being told by Christian brothers and sisters, you know, Paul, you probably shouldn't bring that money there. And then it was a little more than probably. Paul, the Lord says you shouldn't go. And then the prophet, if you go, you're going to have trouble. But he thought he was right. He thought he was right. And I think maybe while he was in the pit, there was some stuff going on in his head. But here's God saying to Paul, hey, Paul, don't worry about it. I got you. I'll still use you. I'm going to have you still testify for me in Jerusalem, and I'm going to use you in Rome. This is the part, why don't you quit when you're in the pit? Because we serve a God who never quits on us, ever. Ever. You know, folks, reality is we're all going to make some mistakes. We're all going to have times in our lives where we're going to reject good Christian advice. Maybe even have times where you get a prophetic word and you just kind of shrug it off. There are going to be times, and maybe there's some of you here who've made some bad decisions, and you're in the pit right now, and you go, man, I should have listened to that advice. Yeah, yeah. And I would say, well, one of the things you do when you're in the pit, you have a conversation with God. And if you messed up, fess up, man. Say, God, I screwed up here. Help me to learn from this so I don't do it again. But it's never over. It's never over. It's never as though God says, listen, I'm done with you. I'm done. You crossed the line. You made this decision. I cannot use you anymore. In Paul's case, as you continue reading, even though he should never have been to Jerusalem, God uses him in spectacular ways. He ends up preaching to the governor of one area, ends up preaching to a king in another city. He gets transferred from the prison of Jerusalem. There's a plot to kill him, so he has to get transferred to the prison in Caesarea. In Caesarea, he preaches to the king. He preaches to another king. He ends up on a boat getting shipped to Rome. While he's on the boat, God uses him to save the entire crew from perishing because of a storm. He saves them. God uses Paul to save them. They get shipwrecked on an island in Malta, and he ends up preaching the gospel in Malta. He heals the governor's father, and it get the impression a revival breaks out and a church gets planted. And he ends up going to Rome, and he preaches to the household of Caesar. So God still used Paul. God still used him. He didn't cut him off. He didn't say, look, I had this plan for you. You missed it. I'm done. He said, be of good cheer, Paul. I'm still going to use you. Now, just for clarity's sake, because I know some of you are sitting there right now a little uneasy, whenever I preach about grace, there's some of you going, Pastor Dave, don't forget to tell them about the consequences. All right? So I'm going to tell you, yes, there are consequences if you end up in the pit and you ended up there because you made the bad decision. There are consequences. There are consequences, no doubt about it. The consequence for Paul was he spent 2 years in prison while he was there in Caesarea, and then he ends up in prison on the ship, and then he ends up, you know, shipwrecked on an island, and then he ends up in Rome, and history says he was in prison for 3 years there. We're talking 5 years the man's in prison. So there's consequences to bad decisions, but I think the point that we want to take a look at today is to say this. Even though you end up in the pit because you made the bad decision, it's not over. I mean, think about this. While Paul was in prison during those 5 years, he wrote 7 of the letters that are now part of the Bible. He wrote a good portion of the New Testament while he was in prison. He wrote 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, he wrote Titus, he wrote the letter to the Ephesians, he wrote the letter to the Philemon, Colossians. I mean, he writes 7 different letters that are the Word of God. So God can use you even if you make a bad decision. And I just want to close with a passage out of the book of Psalms, because this is the take home that I want you to have. It's found in the book of Psalms. It's Psalm 37. It is a passage that I would pray and hope that you are all familiar with. Psalm 37. And we're just going to read 2 verses. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Now look at verse 24. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. What a great combination of scriptures. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We all know that. We like that. We want to believe that. But he just says, yeah, but though he fall, well, why is he saying that, though he fall? Why is he saying, though he fall? Because he's going to fall. You cannot go through life and not fail. But here's the wording. Failing is not the same as quitting. Can you say that with me? Failing is not the same as quitting. This is failing. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He's talking about a lifestyle. You're living a lifestyle. You're trying to serve God. You're trying to do what's right. But folks, there are times where you're going to make bad decisions. You're going to reject advice. You're going to do something wrong. And you can believe the enemy of God is going to be right on top of you and telling you, you screwed up now. I mean, if I had, you know, so many people over the years have said things like, I married the wrong person. Really? Well, there's a couple ways to look at it. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But here's the point. Don't quit. Keep going. You don't quit. Well, I should have never dropped out of school. Or I should have never, you know, taken on this debt. Well, yeah, probably you should have. But hey, God's not going to quit on you. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. God's right there. He's not going to desert us. He's not going to say, I'm done with you. You know, think of, it says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So you read through scripture, and you see that good men of God had their downtimes, and that's why they're written in the Word, because God upheld them. I mean, think about this. Moses murdered a man. That's pretty bad. Innocent. He didn't have to murder the guy. It wasn't self-defense. Noah got drunk. David commits adultery. Peter denies Jesus and cusses and swears about it. It's like, whoa, man. But did those men recover? Oh, yeah. Were there consequences? Yeah, there are consequences. You know, you make bad decisions, there are consequences, and God doesn't promise to alleviate us from the consequences, but what he's saying is, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. You don't quit. You never quit. With God, he's never going to quit on us. When we quit, that's final. When you quit, you say, I'm not trying anymore. When we quit, we say, it's over. It brings on hopelessness. And it's the work of the enemy to get us to quit. We have to walk through life and understand this is reality here. Though the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, he delights in his way. I've committed my life to God. I'm going to walk as best I can following him. Though I fall, it's built in there, folks. It's going to happen. We have to learn how to deal with it. Though I fall, I'll not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Amen? Let's pray. God, I thank you that you don't quit on us. God, I thank you you didn't quit on Paul. You didn't quit on Joseph. You didn't quit on all of them. Noah, Moses, Peter. Somehow, God, your compassion, your mercy, your love is able to extend beyond us and our shortcomings. And I pray, God, that we understand you will never cast us off. You won't reject us. You won't leave us. You walk it out with us. Help us, God, to see that even if we have rejected advice, that we can get it right. And there's still opportunity to be used by you, God. I pray for every one of us here, God. I pray for anyone here today who's ever had that tempting thought, I totally screwed up. There's no hope. In the name of Jesus, I reject that thought. Cast it out of your heart and mind. God, I pray you put within them that hope that there's an opportunity you will still use them, just like as you said to Paul. You still have a plan. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand up? We're going to take a minute here and share communion together. So I just hear this passage that we read in the book of Acts just loud in my head. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I just feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to tell you, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Just some of us carrying burdens, you know, some of us on the edge of giving up. And I just sense the Holy Spirit saying, time to be of good cheer. Time to let it go. Time to accept a God of grace and mercy. And so we're just going to close out with a song, a final worship song. But I just want to open up the front here and just say, you know, if you want to come up this morning and just need that refreshing, just open the front up. You come up for worship. You come up for prayer. You know, if you just need to do some business with God, I just sense really God wants to set some of us free here this morning. Just wants to give you that revelation. He's got more for you. He's got more for you. So we're going to close out with a song. We just open up the front. If you feel like you want to come up and worship, you want to come up and pray, we're just going to have that time as we close out.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm no longer a slave to fear. 'Cause I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Child of God. just thank you for the season of thankfulness. We're just so thankful for what you did for us on the cross and what you consistently do in our lives. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. Let our lives be a light in the midst of darkness. Be with us this week. Have a blessed week and can't wait to see you here next week.